first epistle of John, chapter 3, from the verse number 10 to the verse number 24.
In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he hath laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us.
The Spirit of Christ working in our heart, mind, and our daily walk by the word of life and truth is uniting us with our Lord's glorious work of salvation. The reward for suffering humiliation and shedding our tears, sweat, and blood for this glorious work is great and glorious presently and in eternity. Suffering in Christ is a priceless honor. The awareness of this work's measureless value is opening our mind and heart to receive the stream of his strength, peace, and joy. In our expectation of seeing him as he is, his Spirit is purifying, sanctifying, and beautifying our souls. He is making his bride ready. An important help in understanding this epistle is seeing the verbs like love bestowed in the verse number 1, commit sin in the verse number 4, 8, and 9, sin and sin not in the verse number 6, do righteousness in the verse number 7 and 10, and sin from the beginning in the verse number 8. All these are lasting forms of predisposition. These are not verbs of occasional stumbling into sin or emotional impulses of self-righteousness. These are established practices of godliness or godlessness. This awareness should in no way or manner encourage me to be light-minded concerning occasional sinning or habitual godliness. Our whole lifetime is made of moments. Repeated sinning makes a pattern. These are very serious matters. Striving for righteousness and resisting sin is our lifetime calling, high and greatly rewarding. Our Lord is with us. Our Lord loved us loveless to make us lovable and loving. He is very patient with us. His example is our encouragement to love our fellow believers and to care for them. Let us keep one another's needs in our prayers and in our service in Christ's Spirit. In the verse number 9, the seed of God makes sinning unbearable for us. if we would not be distracted by the tumult of the world, if we could keep us in the awareness of the ugly nature and consequences of sinning, we could easily resist the evil spirit. Sin is ugly. The Word of God is revealing to us the ugliness and the destructive nature of sin. The gospel light destroys the darkness. Walking in the light is following the Spirit of Christ and keeping His Word. In the verse number 9, one born of God and having His seed cannot sin. The first sentence of the verse number 6 helps us to understand verse number 9. Whosoever abides in Him sins not. I believe the verse number 9 implies this understanding. The new birth is evident by resisting sin, growing in the knowledge and application of the gospel, living in Christ. Last three verses in the chapter 1 confirmed the fact that the children of God are not sinless. In this chapter, verse 10 is indicating fundamental difference between the saved and the shackled souls. Lack of practicing righteousness and absence of charity is lifelessness. Christian love, selfless and pure, is a part of the gospel essence. The love teaching is in the Holy Scriptures from the beginning. God loved His creation and He blessed them all. Between the verses 11 and 12 there is a room. We do not slip from charity into murder, from Christ's love into devil's wickedness. Therefore, when we see our heart harboring lukewarm relating to our fellow believers, it's time for alarm, fasting and prayers. When we lack love, we are without protection against satanic deadly darts. When we cry to the Lord, He will save us, as He did rescue Peter from the angry waves. If we become indifferent concerning our loveless existence, we are in danger of becoming lifeless. To enrich and refresh our understanding of the verse number 12, I would recommend a study of Genesis chapter 4. This chapter is revealing the birth of death in Cain's soul, and such darkness, greater than the first sin. Looks like that to me, but only God knows all the facts. As we observe the good, godly example of a fellow believer, the Spirit of the Lord is encouraging us to support and to follow it. The devil is trying to ensnare us into envy and evil desires. Let us see the Lord in our brother's good work and worship the Lord. Let us discover Satan in our envy, and by the grace of our Master, cast the evil out of our heart and mind. Remember the verses 12 through 14 in the chapter 2. Overcome the wickedness. Verse 13 is preparing us to face the hatred in the world. What else we should expect? The slaves of Satan must serve their master. Whenever we feel the sting of envy, may our Lord make us aware of the evil intentions the enemy has against us. The evil spirit has his power against us only when we believe him, the evil one. Our victory is in Christ. Some of the vital indications of the new birth, the birth from above, are love, faith, and hope. Loving all that is created by the Spirit of our Redeemer in us and in our fellow believers. Love for the saints recorded in the Scriptures. Love for the Lord's great work. The love of God in a newborn child is not selfish or self-centered. Love of the Lord is the power of the Spirit of Christ that is encouraging this new being to delight in serving the Lord and being a channel of the Lord's blessings to His children all around. Love is God's presence. God's love in us will never make us aimless and idle. In all adversities, love gives comfort and endurance to the soul. The love of God creates and sustains a strong awareness of His Spirit living in us and loving all that is His own in our fellow pilgrims, our family. I think only a person trusting in some ceremonies, some rituals for salvation, and not the grace of God, our Savior, could believe that he or she is a newborn child of God, our Father, in spite of lacking love for the family of Christ on this earth. Death and sin are loveless. It is impossible to love God and not to love God's children, just as it is impossible to truly love any person without loving the Creator. Even so, it is impossible to love a brother or a sister in Christ and not to love the Christ, since God's love in Christ is the only source of real love for the whole universe. May the Lord bless us continually with His eternal love. Lack of love indicates deadness of the soul. Hatred shows murderous nature of Satan in the heart of man. These words are revealing not only the condition of a hater's heart and mind, but also the direction and the end of that path, everlasting doom in hell fires. These strong lines are urging every sinner to turn to the Lord and calling empty nominal believers to seek life and healing power of our Savior. In the verse number 15 we have a strong statement. The new life in Christ's Spirit and hatred cannot coexist in the same heart. In the most difficult struggles, one of the two will abide and the other will vanish away. In Christ we always have victory. With Satan one is always the loser. The battles against hating can be very hard in times of suffering, injustice, or persecution if we get blinded. Then we see only with the eyes of our flesh and look not through the light of the gospel. The same evil spirit is working through his victims to make us suffer because of their wickedness, and at the same time attacking our mind and heart with bitterness and hate. Satan is defeated when we are aware of the truth that our persecutors are the true victims, and the Lord has given us another opportunity to experience His loving care for us, giving us victory in our suffering and making us Christ's witnesses to the lost world. When we are victorious against our enemy, we have nothing our own to boast of, and we have so much to be thankful for. The Lord Jesus Christ accomplished that victory in us. He has defeated Satan again and rescued us from the whirlwind of confusion and darkness. In this chapter 3, we can sense the battle between the light of the truth and the darkness of deceit. In the verse 16, we see the victorious Christ, the Redeemer, giving His own life into death to deliver us from hell. We are encouraged to follow the heavenly Captain. We only perceive the love of God. We have not yet experienced the entire deep meaning of it, the high revelation in it, its eternal character and the full power of it. As we follow our Captain and His example, as He laid down His life for our salvation, we learn His purpose in our new life by living to please Him and to bless His family and ours on earth. The love of God is not an empty teaching. It is the practical application of His teaching. It is not just a style of speech or politeness. It is not only our affection for someone pleasant to us. It is our new life we owe to the head of the body whose members we are. Loving indeed and in truth is not promising much when nothing is needed, but doing all we can when necessary. Loving in deed and in truth is doing the will of our Master in love, living to please Him, delighting in doing the will of the Father unto my brethren. Walking with the Savior in the light of His Word, we grow in confidence and personal knowledge of Him. His assurance of our salvation and security in Him is growing, and our doubts and fears dissipate. Even in difficulties, we receive His constant comfort and joy. As we strive to live in love of our Savior, we never feel proud of our accomplishments. We grow in awareness that we owe the Lord much, much more than we can ever do. How often we are sad because of our inability to do more, to help our brethren better. But our heart condemns us not when we know that the Lord has recognized the two mites of the poor widow as greater offering than the costly market values offered by the rich man. When we know that He is our life and joy, His comfort flows unrestricted upon us. In the verse 20 we are warned against clinching the light of the truth in our mind. If we manage to believe that we persuaded our heart of our uprightness, when we know that we are guilty of inconsistency, without the comfort of our Lord, we can be only destitute. When we know that we are guilty before the Lord, guilty of not sincerely loving our brother, our prayers are hindered. When our entire heart is His, we have confidence in His acceptance of our two coins as of an offering of the love He planted in our hearts. Then we are free to ask in our prayers all He is ready to give us toward fulfilling His desires in our daily walk. Confidence toward God will expel our fears and worries. We know that God will arm us with the whole armor of godliness, salvation, and truth. We are assured that all together works for good to those loving the Lord and waiting for His appearance. If I would ask the Lord to reward my service for Him according to my work, I would be very foolishly proud or plainly ignorant, and I could only fail miserably. I know my life and living belong to Him. He is giving me His entire kingdom, and He owns me. Believing, trusting, and obeying my Lord Jesus and loving my fellow believers, in Christ I already pleased the Father better than any man alone could ever do. And now all I need is to be faithful and to do His good pleasure according to the measure of His grace upon me. I know I never worked out and accomplished anything as well as He could do it. But because He delights in me, I also delight in Him. In my greatest zeal, my love is only a feeble echo of His perfect and eternal love, but His grace and power is working in me. Verse 23 is reflecting back over the entire epistle with the core and abundance of its meaning. It stands for the benefit, blessing, progress, safety, and security of my soul. From the beginning of the creation, this truth is standing and remains strong forever. Trusting our God with confidence in His might, wisdom, and loving care, we can do all in Christ, for He it is doing all for the Father's pleasure. This is the eternal law of love for the Creator and for all He has created. We love Him and all His by this love He gave us. In the light of this truth, verse 22 is clearly understandable and fully applicable in our daily walk. What an abundance of grace and power is given to us in Christ. This is like a river of life that flows from the throne on high to bless our souls and the souls around us. This verse number 23 adds more accent to the very important fact. The seed of blessings, safety and progress is in constant learning to live for His good pleasure, as He gave us in His commandment, believe and love. Believing and loving, we never lack expectation of His glorious triumph. We are waiting for our Master, fervently laboring to be ready for Him. This is living in Him. This is His Spirit working in us. This is His victory over ourself and selfishness, over sin and death, over Satan and the world. This is His kingdom on the earth, our soul within the fellowship in His Spirit. Glory, power, and worship are ever His.